Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 55, and it is a gloomy, rainy day here in Los Angeles, California. Yesterday was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was sunny. It was warm. It was gorgeous. And every time I say the word gorgeous, I feel like I want to say it's gorgeous. It's that gorgeous day. But today it's rainy, it's gloomy, and it makes me feel gloomy. I may not sound gloomy. Maybe I do sound gloomy. But, compared to many other parts of the country, probably most of the country, we're doing pretty good. You know, my family lives out in they're in the Midwest in Michigan. And this past week, at one point my dad said it was below zero. Below zero? Is that even, like, humanly possible? Not for me. I'm just a wuss. I'm a weather wuss. I am a weather wuss. Because I've been out here so long, they say your blood thins out or something like that. Or you just become wussified. I have become weather wussified. And I don't care. I'm proud of it. That's why I can say it's gorgeous out. It's gorgeous. Just going to kind of go through some, how I go through the topics of my life throughout the past week or so. And last Sunday has been my habit in the last couple weeks, although today it's Sunday, and I'm going to break that habit today. It's not like a habit you have to break to go to like a 12-step program. It's just that I'm just choosing not to do it today. But the last couple Sundays I've been going to Whole Foods Market, my local Whole Foods Market. It's the cluttered. They should call it the cluttered Whole Foods Market. It's the kind of Whole Foods. The parking lot is really small. You know, if one person backs out, and there could be 20 cars trying to come through, it's just there's no room to maneuver in this parking lot. They really wasn't designed for the kind of volume that it's doing. And if you happen to be shopping there, the inside of the store is quite cluttered too. I mean, if you stop to read a label to see what's in what the ingredients are, which I'd say 92% of the people that shop at Whole Foods are doing that because they're so conscientious. Why do I keep doing that effeminate man voice? Because it's fun. It's fun to do. Okay, don't judge me. I'm not like putting anybody down. I like to do that voice sometimes. Sometimes it's just a fun thing to do. And on a day like today when it's gloomy and rainy, it's fun to do an effeminate male voice. I may just do the entire podcast in effect. Don't test me. Okay. So it's a pretty cluttered place. And but last week I went there, and before I left, I stopped by next door to Aaron and Janet, the managers, who are my friends. And I asked them if there's anything they needed, and they're vegetarians, I was gonna say something, but it's gonna sound like a put down, so I won't say it. I'll say it. They eat like muffins and sugary stuff, but they won't eat like chicken, So consequently, you do the math. You do the math when you get on the scale. Okay, enough said. So. But I like these people. I love them, actually. They're very, very nice to me. They've been nothing but nice to me. And so I asked them if there was anything they needed at Whole Foods. And Aaron started talking about that there was this vegetarian meat. And I was going, okay. And then he just gave up. He just I wouldn't be able to go there and ask, where the vegetarian meat. Like, what are you looking for? You're looking for, vegetarian something that's taste. I know they make these products that look like meat and taste like meat, but they're completely vegetarian. Which, in order for them to actually come up with that flavor, what are they putting into this stuff? What are they doing? Is it really healthy? I don't know. But he just bailed. He just gave up. Forget it. No, I he just didn't trust me. He didn't trust me to go to walk in there and go, hey, where's your vegetarian veal cutlets? I want to know where your vegetarian bologna is. You know, meat eaters, we never, you know, we don't go around trying to change our vegetables. I never go around, you know, I want my broccoli to taste like a hamburger. No, because I get hamburger if I need it. Excuse me. I love podcasting. You cough right on the air and you don't even, you just say, excuse me, and you move on. It's always a work in progress here at Al Berman's live at this podcast studio. So I ranted. Remember last week I told you about the biker guy, the mean-looking biker guy, the tattooed biker guy, older gentleman that you know, looked like the kind of guy that would be in the Hell's Angels and stomp you to death. And he was, you know, very nice, and he gave me a shopping cart. He went to get one, and he gave it to me. And this week again, or last week, I ran into him at the same time, maybe because he probably shops here on Sunday, and that means I'll miss him today. But I think we need a break from each other, personally. Because I'm trying to connect with this guy now. I'm fascinated by this, you know, mean-looking biker. And I see him, and he goes into, like, the trunk of his car, and he pulls out a canvas bag, you know, to bring, so he doesn't have to use any of their bags and ruin the environment. What a conscientious guy. And I was thinking about that movie, that old Marlon Brando movie, I think it was called The Wild One, where he plays a motorcycle gang guy, and the leader of a motorcycle gang, and they take over a town and terrorize it. And, you know, if you do the modern-day version of it, it would be a motorcycle gang that came to a town and took it over and then just started recycling. That's right. I think that would be the new thing. They would be recycling, and they would, like, threaten people, you know, if they didn't buy canvas bags, you know, and they would do stuff like that. Oh. Anyway, so, I made a mistake last week. I thought that we were having an inspection by the city. That's coming up in about 2 weeks, I believe. What we actually had last Monday was the new smoke detector / carbon monoxide detector detectors were installed. And I was, I don't get up early. So they said that they would be doing this from 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. So I mentioned to Janet and Aaron the day before, well, okay, so do I need to get up early or what? And then Janet said, no, it's fine. I said, okay. So I stayed up pretty late that night thinking, like, hey, I'm cool. And I went to bed really late. I wanted to say, because it's kind of, you don't need to know, but I'll just say that it was really, really late. I stayed up watching, you know, I'm a Netflix junkie now. And I just finished watching Mad Men. 4 seasons of Mad Men I watched in about like a month. Oh my God, I miss it already. Anyway, so I stayed up really late. And at 9:30 a.m., I get a knock on my door, you know, and I go to the door and I open it. And there's Aaron with a gentleman I don't know. And I go, you guys, I thought they were doing this all day. I mean, can you come back in the afternoon? And so Aaron goes, no, they're going to be, you know, only here for another hour or two. And I say, all right. I say, give me 2 minutes. Let me put my clothes on. And so, you know, I mean, it literally took me like 1 or 2 minutes to put my clothes on. I open the door, they're gone. They're not even standing there. I go, wait a minute, what is this? So I start yelling across the courtyard, hello, hello. And then Aaron comes. I go, Aaron, what's going on? He goes, well, they're in his other apartment. I go, well, how long is it going to be? Like 20 minutes ago? Yeah. I go, I just told you I was going to get up. You know, I kind of barked at him. I barked at him. You know, I love the guy, but I barked at him. Because I felt like, you know, I just told you. And he was like, well, you know, he was made some kind of excuse. And the guy came, like, pretty soon after that. And so the guy comes in, this one, it turns out there's, like, three of them. And they're, like, all over the building. You know, it's just, like, this massive thing where they're simultaneously, they're all working at once, but they're, I don't think they all have the same job. Okay, fine. But the doors are left open. You know, doors are left open. It's kind of cold. The guy comes in, he says he has to change my you call these? My electrical outlets, because they have old outlets. And they need to be updated. But he just says, G5! Incidentally, you know, 2 out of 3 guys speak now hardly any English. You know, which it seems to be a requirement. I think I mentioned it before. The owners of this building, when shopping for somebody to do work on the building, one of the requirements is that a very, very little command of English. Because why would you want your workers to be able to communicate with the people on the premises who live there? Now, I'm not against learning Spanish. I love Spanish. And these guys were actually, some of those guys, one of those guys is kind of impressed with my Spanish because I do know a little bit. I can converse somewhat. But at 9:30, I only had a few hours sleep. I was cranky. And the guy goes, G5! I go, what are you talking about, G5? I don't even know what that means. I guess that's sort of the name of the outlet, the new outlet. And so I said, all right. So I sit, you know, I get out of their way. I'm waiting there. And then, you know, the guy, he goes by one of the outlets where my microwave is. And then he just takes the old outlet out. And he doesn't replace the new one, like a new plate. It's just like there's a big hole. And he just leaves. He just leaves with the door open. And then it's just like, you know, pandemonium. These guys are going in different. And I'm like, you know, at one point he goes past my door. I go, hey, sir, excuse me. What's going on? And he goes, my boss. What are you, the short guy from Fantasy Island? My boss? Is that what he said? No, he said, but the plane. My boss. So I guess there's something to do with his boss. And I waited there. I hung out for a while. It was supposed to take like 20 minutes. It took about an hour. All right, whatever. That's the way it goes when you're doing fine labor. And so they finally comes back and he puts the new outlets together and makes it all safe and sound. And then he's got my microwave unplugged. He starts to leave. He goes, sir, excuse me. You left my microwave unplugged. I mean, would you be kind enough to actually plug it back in? Oh, okay. And then he leaves. And, you know, they left the little crumbs and stuff that they should have cleaned up. You know, crumbs from, like, just doing a little bit of work. And I found it all very typical of not all the labor that's hired here. Because there's some people that have worked here for a long time from back in the old days are great. But some of the newer groups, they leave me wanting. They leave me wanting something more. And so now the new smoke/carbon monoxide detector is installed. And it's amazing. The guy tested it out for me. It actually talks. If there's fire, it goes, fire, 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 liar, liar, pants on fire. That'd be funny if it said that. Liar, liar, pants on fire, get out of here. And then if it's carbon monoxide, it goes, carbon monoxide, you're going to die. If you don't get out of the carbon monoxide. And I was concerned about my lighting a cigar near it, because the other one I had, I remember I told you, would go off. But so far, so good. Maybe it's because I've been cracking the window open a little bit. And yes, I know, cigars are not good for you. And yes, I know, I do intend to quit at some point. But right now, especially during my period of, you know, between hips, that'd be a good name for a book, Between Hips. Or maybe a soap opera. You know, I'm not getting out there that much. So I need something, okay? I got my cigars. And my food has been extremely clean. You know, except I had a little cheat moment yesterday. And I'm going to do a little cheat moment today, okay? Again, no judgment. No judgment, man. So, also, we had, this past week was the Martin Luther King's birthday. And many of all the government places were shut down, and banks, I believe. And I have an ex-girlfriend from way back in the day. Oh my God, she's married. She's got a kid, and we stay in touch every so often. It's very sporadic, and I figured she's a teacher, so I figured she might be off. So I just texted her and said, "Hey, what's up?" And then she texted me back saying that she was in a meeting, and I said, "Meeting? Wouldn't your school be off today? Martin Luther King Day?" And she said they only got half a day off, so they had half. You know, because I guess it's kind of a white school. But that's no excuse. You know, get what are you gonna do? Half a happy half a Martin Luther King birthday. I hope you enjoy celebrating half the birthday. Okay. All right. All right, all right. Then, okay, what else is going on? Then I'm paying off a dental bill, and I call up the dental place, and I say I want to make a payment. And this lady, very nice lady, she took my payment, and then at the end of the conversation, I think I must have said, "Have a nice day." I said, "All right, have a nice day," and then she shot back, "Have a nice week," and I said, "Okay," and I figured. You know what, that could have gone. I could have said, have a nice month, and have a nice year. She could have said, have a nice life. I could have said, when you die, have a nice afterlife. It was like no end to what we could have wished each other. And but I chose to stop after have a nice week. You know, have a nice day. You know what would have been? Have a nice 2 days. Have a nice day and a half. Maybe that would have been good. And then it occurred to me this week that I'm gaining some things in my life as far as insight and wisdom, and in other areas with the technology, the way technology is, I feel like I'm losing some things. Example is my iPhone. On my iPhone, you know, it does everything. I mean, it gives me the weather. You know, it does so many things. So I rely on the iPhone to tell me what the weather is. And one day this past week in the afternoon, I was going to go out. And I looked and said it was 73 degrees. Now, if it's 73 degrees, it should be kind of warm. But, I opened the door and, stuck my finger out. No, stuck my head out. And part of my body out. And it was kind of chilly. And I had a dilemma. I said, I don't know, do I wear a jacket? I shouldn't have to wear a jacket if it's 73 degrees. I was really, having a moment of, I don't know what to do because it says it's 73 degrees, but it feels chilly, and I don't know what to do. And then I saw a neighbor of mine walking through the courtyard, and I asked her. I said, "Hey, do you think I need a jacket if I go out?" And she goes, "Yeah, you might." I said, "Well, because my phone says it's 73 degrees." She goes, "It's not 73 degrees, but my phone says it is. My phone wouldn't lie to me. iPhones never lie, do they? No." So I'm just, thinking, the fact that I even took the time, look outside, put my body outside a little bit and go, all right, it's chilly. I actually had to have, a discussion. I had to actually ask somebody else's opinion. Like, what if she would have said to me, no, you don't need a jacket. Well, I just going to follow her blindly? Blindly? Because the iPhone and her? That just made me think about, yeah, I think I'm losing something with all this technology. But I'm gaining so much, too. And no, I'm not playing Words with Friends. Stop it. Or Farmville. Gosh, what is it? Farmville, people, they kind of slowed down. It used to be like people Facebook would be bugging me all the time. Play Farmville. I need 6 eggs for my farm. Shut up. Shut up. I need 6 eggs, but I'm going to the store to get it. I'm not asking you or telling you. Man. So yesterday I went to the library in my neighborhood, and I went right towards the end when they were shutting down. And the thing about the library, when they get ready to shut down, these people don't mess around. At 15 minutes before they shut down, they're flashing the lights like it's a theater at intermission and telling you to go back in the room. So I go in there, and it was like they had 5 minutes to go, and I had to bring a book back, and I was getting a couple books, and I wanted to use the men's room real quick, because I had to do a little pee-pee. I got a pee-pee. But they keep them locked, but the key wasn't there. Now, sometimes the people leave the keys in there. I don't know if there's somebody in there. And so I said, well, I didn't have to go that bad. I'll just wait in line, and I'll ask the guy. There was a guy behind a desk. So I said to the guy, I went and picked up a couple books. I said, hey, dude, there's no men's room key. Can I get in there? He goes, you have to ask the librarian. And who's that? And he points to a lady across the room. He goes, but I'll tell you truthfully, because now it's like almost time for him to close. She's probably not going to let you do it. Really? She's not going to? I'm not asking her, I have to go make a wee-wee and she's not going to let me go? because, she, you know, they just want to get the heck out of there. And so she comes by, and I go, excuse me, listen, can I please use the, there was no men's room key, and I, you know, could I just use the men's room real quick? And she made some kind of remark about, like, well, there's no key because of the, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what she said. And I go, well, I, you know, I mean, would it be possible just, I mean, I'll make it really quick, I promise. And she didn't, you know, she was just very, very, well, let's say hostile, but just not happy. And she didn't say anything. And she unlocked the door and let me in. I said, I promise you, I will make this very quick. No more than a minute or so. And I did. You know, I don't need to dawdle in a, especially a public restroom. Who likes to hang out in public restrooms? You know, not me, except those guys that used to like to tap dance and do weird things in there. So so I go in, I come out, and another lady that works there was waiting for me, and she praised me. She goes, you really did. You really, you said just like you said you would do. You made it really quick. And I go, yeah, I did. I'm a man of my word. Thank you. Not to be a lesson for you. But the thing is, they just want to get out. There's no door. Maybe it's probably that they're just not getting paid past past the time to close. I don't blame them. You know, I really don't blame them. But sometimes you got to be a little flexible in life and let somebody go into the public men's room to do a real quick number one. And last but not least, I had a situation happen yesterday that I must talk to you about. I think I mentioned before a gentleman named Chris. He cleans my house and does my laundry for me once a week. And I got trouble with I had hip surgery and I've got another one coming up. So you know, I pay him. Even if I didn't have problems with my hips, I'd pay somebody to clean my house. I'm not good at it. But as far as the laundry, I probably would do that. But now I'm getting spoiled, you know, and I'm really enjoying having all this done. And, you know, it doesn't cost that much. You know, with a guy like me, the kind of money I'm pulling down. What are you kidding? Anyway. So Chris is, he has a pretty fine job. And I trust him. He's an honest guy. Leave him alone. He just, you know, takes care of business. So I went and met my friend Bill for lunch, and I knew I was going to be gone for a while, so I told him I would see him, Chris, I'll see you later, and, you know, and that was that. And so on my way home, after I was out for a couple hours or so, I called him to see, you know, what I owed him, and he told me, and he was already gone from my house, and he said, he goes, oh, by the way, he goes, one of your neighbors, David, I think we got one of his underpants mixed up in your wash because he was using the machine before me, and then when after I dried your clothes, I found this, you know, strange stray underpants, and I was like, oh, okay. And he said so I left it on your bed. Like, he didn't like walk it back to the laundry room and just, you know, just hanging on one of the, you know, wire things there for David to go back and see if he, you know, lost his underwear. He just left it in my house. And I was like a little creeped out by that. I mean, I don't want to, you know, somebody, a strange man's underwear in my apartment. But I didn't say anything to Chris. I was like, oh, okay. I go, well, I guess, I think he might have suggested, he goes, well, you could just bring it back to him. You know, he lives like, you know, David lives like across the courtyard from, like, actually not that far from me. I said, yeah, I guess I could bring him the underwear. I mean, I know the guy. He's a strange dude. He's probably on medication. He's a very intelligent guy, actually. And we kind of do get along, but he's odd. And he's creeped out some of the women here because he's a little too friendly or something like that. I don't know. I know he's creeped out some of the women. Yeah, he doesn't know how to. He don't have. Let's put it this way: the guy got no game. So Chris goes, yeah, I guess he could just bring back the underwear. And I'm thinking, all right. But part of me's thinking that's gonna be a weird knock on the door. And so I come home, and sure enough, on my bed is a folded pair of underwear that sure is, you know what, doesn't belong to me. And I'm creeped out. I'm like, I got my mission now. Before I even put my groceries, because I had some groceries I went shopping for, because I went to Whole Foods yesterday. Okay, I admit it, I went there yesterday and I didn't see the biker guy. But I was so creeped out. I was on a mission to get rid of the underpants. Before I put my groceries away, I couldn't take it one more minute of having this strange underpants in my house. So, now, why didn't I go and bring it across to the laundry room? Well, you know, because I'm having trouble with this other hip, and the laundry's all the way across the courtyard. I didn't feel like walking over there, you know, and I felt like, you know what? Just a couple steps from my door to his door, to bring the underwear. So I pick up the underwear, and I head for his apartment. And I see all the lights are out, and I go, okay, good. I don't have to talk to him. And what do? I open up a screen door and I hang the underwear on the doorknob of his door, and I leave. I leave like an underwear burglar in the night, and. You know, later on, I was thinking that, thank God, like, nobody, I was actually thinking about that earlier, actually during the whole process, but I thought about it later on too, is like, what if somebody saw me doing this? What could they have possibly thought? Especially there's a young girl that lives right next door to him that I'm cordial friendly with. What would she have said if she saw me walking with a pair of male underwear in my hand and going in, and then leaving it on his doorknob? And what and how did he react when he came home and saw this underwear laying on his doorknob? How did he react? Did he freak out? I didn't hear any screams. And I was going to tell him later that I actually did it, but I'm thinking I'm just going to keep it on the down low. I'm not going to say anything, you know. And besides, a friend of mine, she mentioned that. You know, she's heard of, like, socks being lost in the laundry, but never underwear. Underwear is one of those things that you kind of make sure that you take out of your wash. So, you know, so that's what happened. So, anyway, that's that. So, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. I want to thank everybody who listens. Please, if you get a chance... If you feel so inclined and you want to tell other people, if you do enjoy the podcast, if you want to tell others that maybe they want to tune in at their leisure because it's on demand, please feel free to tell them about it. And, you know, I'm just really enjoying doing this. And I'm very, very grateful to the people that do listen. And so until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.